Good evening. It's good to see everyone here. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you've come to be with us this evening. Hope you'll come back and be with us again. If you'll be turning your Bibles to Matthew, the sixth chapter, Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be reading beginning in verse 19 in just a moment. If you've been following the reading plan that we started at the first of the year, this was part of the reading for this past week, and hopefully everyone has been doing that. And I'd like to just use a section of that for some thoughts tonight for our lesson, and I'd like to begin reading here in Matthew, the sixth chapter, in verse 19. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or God and money, as that's translated in some places. You know, one thing that God wants from us more than anything else, yes, our obedience is important, sacrifice is important, and really, though, if we have this one thing, all of those things are going to take care of themselves. What God wants from us more than anything else is He wants our heart. And that's what Jesus is really saying here. More than faithful church attendance or giving our time and talents, more than just living a good, moral, decent life, God wants our hearts to be dedicated to Him. And as I said, if that's the case, if we do give our hearts to God, then we're going to have those other things. But sometimes we think we can do those other things and that makes us pleasing to God. But if our heart's not in the right place, doing those things aren't really useful for us that much at all. God wants your heart and mine. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking more about than a physical organ that pumps blood throughout our body. That's not what it's referring to. In the Bible, the heart is really the part of us that governs our life. It is our emotions. It's where our passion, our desires, and our will is. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and this idea of the heart is mentioned throughout the Proverbs, really. In Proverbs 4, 23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." And Proverbs 16, and verse 9, it says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." And let me share one more in Proverbs 21 and verse 2. Proverbs 21, 2. "All of a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs his heart." When I think throughout the Old Testament, I think about Moses. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments back in Exodus chapter 20, the very first one involved, really, our heart, giving our heart to God. You may remember there in Exodus 20 and verse 3, that commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." What's God saying there? He says, "Give me your heart. Don't give it to anyone else. Give it to me." And God knew, I believe, from the very beginning of giving those commandments, how difficult it would be for man to really give his heart completely to Him. Remember, at the same time that Moses was at the top of Mount Sinai receiving these commandments, the children of Israel are at the bottom of Mount Sinai. And what were they doing? They were worshiping a golden calf that Aaron had made. The children were of Israel, from that very moment, were struggling to give their heart to God and only to Him and really follow that first commandment even as Moses was receiving it. "You shall have no other gods before me." I think about David. When God sent the prophet Samuel to the home of Jesse, and Samuel would pick from the sons of Jesse the one that would become king. And as he looked, God wanted Samuel to choose, didn't want him to choose the tallest. He didn't want him to choose the strongest, the most handsome one. God wanted Samuel to choose the one that had the right heart. And of course, we know that man was David. And later on, it is said of David, God Himself calls David the man after my own heart. We also see, if we go on to the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, the Pharisees came to Jesus and they were asking Him about what is the greatest commandment. Which one ranks right up there at the top? And you remember what Jesus said? It all points back to the heart. He says in Matthew 22 and verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your what? What does He say? He says, with your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Jesus puts the heart right up there at the top. The greatest commandment, love God. Give Him your heart. Later on, in the parable of the sower, Jesus tells this parable. It's found in Matthew, the 13th chapter. You're probably familiar with it. He talks about seed that's being sown on different types of ground. And in the explanation of this parable, it tells us that that ground represented the hearts of people and how they would receive the gospel. Think about the church at Ephesus over in Revelation chapter 2. Jesus is addressing here the church at Ephesus as He did six other churches. But in His what He tells the church at Ephesus and what John writes concerning the message of Jesus, He first commends the Ephesian church. He says they had good deeds. He commends their hard work, their perseverance. They were holding sound doctrine. He commended those things. But Jesus says, I've got something against you. And in Revelation 2 and verse 4, this is what He says I have against you. You have forsaken your first love. You have forsaken your first love. What did Jesus mean by that? He says you have everything, but one thing. And the thing that I value most is what you lack. I don't have your heart. You don't have the love that you should have. And so if God doesn't have my heart, then what does He really have of me? I think that's a question we all need to ask ourselves concerning our service to God. If He doesn't have our heart, what does He really have? How meaningful is my worship if I truly don't love God? How meaningful are my prayers if I don't truly love the one that I pray to? How meaningful is my service if I don't truly love the God that I serve? So here's my question I think that we need to ask to ourselves tonight. Does God really have my heart? In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, again, hopefully you've been reading that over the past couple of weeks. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is Jesus giving the Sermon on the Mount, is what we call it. And in that Sermon on the Mount, He gives us principles of really what it means to be part of the kingdom. And in this, we see in the text for our lesson tonight, as we read earlier, Jesus focusing this attention on matters of the heart. And He first talks about the cause of spiritual heart problems, if you will. And then after He talks about the cause of those problems, He also gives us the solution or the cure, if you will, for spiritual heart problems. First of all, let's think about the cause of spiritual heart problems. Look again at verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. When it comes to matters of the heart, our biggest problem is divided loyalty. Part of the heart is in love with God. Part of the heart sometimes is in love with things of the world. That's why Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You cannot be in love with God and in love with the things of the world at the same time. Those things contradict each other. You can't have it both ways. And I believe that Satan's goal for us in our lives is not to convince us that we need to hate God, Not a lot of people are going to go around and say, well, I hate God. You know, that's not what people think. I think what Satan is more likely to do and more successful in doing with people today is just hindering our love for God. He knows that the more that we cram in our hearts full of the love for the world, then the less room we have for God. And we need to be careful about that. He doesn't make us hate God. He just wants us to love the world. Nothing hinders the love and passion of the heart more than divided loyalties. No one can serve two masters. And that's why Jesus gives us this warning. He goes on to say, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. He's telling us, don't treasure treasures. Don't put too much stock in stuff. Don't let the things of the world come between you and God. Things have limited value. Things are not permanent. Things don't last. What we see is we get an attachment to so much to the world and the things of the world. The entertainment and recreation and all the things that the world has to offer. That it gets in our way of truly giving our heart to God. Now, I've heard there's a football game going on right now somewhere. Some people may be interested in it. And I think about tonight, how many people maybe by their actions are showing that they have more love for the things of the world than they do for God. Oh, they wouldn't come out and say that, but by their actions, that's what they're showing. And by your attendance here tonight and not somewhere watching that game, it shows that you are the priorities in the right place. That indeed that love for God is greater than something of the world. But a lot of people, they let the worldly things hinder what they do. Jesus gives us the cause of spiritual heart problems. And it is that divided loyalty, that love for the world, not having our priorities in the right place. But then if you look at verse 20 and 21, he gives the cure for this spiritual heart problem, if you will. Verse 20 and 21, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There are many things that I think are a lot easier to talk about than they are to put into practice, and I guess this is one of them. You know, the sounds pretty simple, really, what Jesus is saying here. Put more value in heavenly treasures than earthly treasures. It sounds very simple, doesn't it? But when we try to live that out in our life, we all know that it can be a challenge that we face each and every day. When someone has a physical heart problem, sometimes it requires surgery. And the object of that surgery is to get rid of usually a blockage that is there so that the blood can flow throughout the body. And it's much the same when you think of someone with a spiritual heart problem as well. The blockage has to be removed. Whatever is blocking the flow of our love of God, then that needs to be taken away. The things in the world sometimes block that flow of God's love to us. And we need to get rid of that. That's the only way that we can truly serve God in a way that's pleasing to Him. If the love of the things of the world are blocking us from God, we need to get rid of those things. Think of it maybe even as a pair of scales. On one side you have earthly treasures, things that are temporary, things that you can't count on, things that are destroyed, things that can be taken away. And on the other side you have heavenly treasures, the things that are eternal. Jesus tells us, weigh the two. Earthly treasures, heavenly treasures. Weigh the two. Which one's more important to you? Which one has more weight in your life? Is it the heavenly things, the eternal things, or the worldly things? Because what Jesus goes on to say is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What he's saying is your heart's going to pursue the things that are most important to you. The things that you value the most, that's what your heart's going to be pursuing. So if your heart is pursuing the things of God, that means you're putting Him first. That means your heart is given to God. But if you're pursuing worldly things, and it's hindering you from your service to God, then obviously God does not have your heart. If I value the temporary pleasures and treasures of the world, then that's what my heart is going to pursue. God's not going to have it. If I, on the other hand, value the eternal more than this temporary things, then that's what my heart will pursue, and God will have it. There's a story told about an old farmer. And the farmer walked into his kitchen one day, and he joyfully announced that his finest cow had just given birth to twin calves. There was one brown one and one white one. And he told his wife as he went in and told her that he wanted to dedicate one of the calves to the Lord. And his plan was that when they were old enough that he would sell them, and he told his wife that they would keep the proceeds from one and give the proceeds to the other to the Lord. Well, several months went by, and we see he came in one day, and he had his head down and looked dejected and sad, and his wife knew something was wrong, and so she asked her husband, she said, "Well, what's wrong?" And he says, "Well, I've got bad news." She said, "Well, what?" He said, "Well, the Lord's cow died." You know, we laugh about that, but we're a lot like that farmer, maybe more than we want to understand. We're always, we're giving up things, or sometimes we're giving up the things, and we seem to make time to do the things that we want when it comes to giving our time. And when it comes time to do the Lord's work, well, suddenly we don't have enough time. Or maybe we seem to always have the money for the things we want to do, but when money is needed to do the Lord's work, well, suddenly, well, we've come up a little bit short, and we don't have it to spend. We always have enough energy to do the things we want to do, whether it's maybe some recreational activities or things of entertainment and things of this world. We always find the energy to do those things, and then when it comes time to do the Lord's work, well, I'm tired and I'm worn out and I can't do it. The Lord's cow dying all over again, just in our life in a different way. And so we need to remember that it comes down to a matter of the heart. We must make a decision to value the eternal more than the earthly and give our hearts to God. Someone once said, "Money will buy you a bed, but not sleep. Books, but not brains. Food, but not an appetite. Beauty, but not character. A house, but not a home. Medicine, but not good health. Amusement, but not true happiness. Religion, but not salvation. A solid gold cross, but not a Savior." I think there's a lot of truth in the fact that money will buy a lot of things. But there's some things that money can't buy. The things that are really important, those are the things that money can't buy. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, the things that are really important in our lives, the things that we need to focus on, the things that are a priority in our life, they need to be the eternal things. They need to be the things of God. Because we see our most valuable thing is our soul. It goes beyond even our physical bodies. You know, a lot of people put a lot of time and effort and money into making sure they stay healthy, and that's a good thing. To preserve their physical body, to live as long as they can, but it doesn't matter what you do. Eventually, you're going to die. You know, I'm often laughing at the people at work that eat healthy. They eat their salads every day, and I tell them when they die, nobody's going to know what they died of. When I die, it was the bacon. But even if we take a lot of time and effort, and we live for a very long life, it doesn't matter. We're not going to live forever. Our soul will last forever. That's why it's the most valuable thing. One day we're going to face God in judgment. And as we just read, what will we give in exchange for our soul? Are the things of this world so important that it's worth losing our soul over? And so when we think, we need to give our hearts to God. The question tonight, is your heart right with God? We often sing a song with those words. Is your heart right with God? Look at yourself and see, have I given my heart to God? And that's a struggle, I think, for us as Christians, that we have to continually look to that and continually see, am I giving my heart to God every day? Because there's oftentimes those things that can get in our way, and maybe we conquer it for a while, but then we sometimes drift back into the worldliness. And we have to turn back to God and repent. And if you look at your life this evening and realize that maybe that's where you are, repent and turn back to God. Ask Him to forgive you. Give your heart to Him once again. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel to become a Christian, and you need to give your heart to God for that very first time to become His child. You have that opportunity tonight as well. Come repent of your sins, be baptized, and become a child of God. Give your heart to God and start living your life for Him. And if we can help you in any way, we hope that you'll respond while we stand and sing.